Somebody told me. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here. I smell leather. Waylon Jennings, ladies and gentlemen, in my estimation, probably the greatest musician, singer to ever live, and I've been excited to get this guy on for some time. It's Waylon's firstborn son. His name is Terry Jennings, CEO and founder of Corbin Music Group, a music management consulting and publishing company. He's also been, he's done everything in the music industry. He has worked for booking agencies, publishing companies, and he's been a talent scout for major labels like RCA Records. He was also Richie Albright's drum tech. He has done everything. Terry, how are you doing? Welcome to Michael DelGiorno's show with Johnny B.
Hey, Johnny B. I'm doing fine. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, man, I'm excited to have you on because I tell you what, I did love your dad's autobiography, and I wore it out. But your book, I have... I've even bought your book for other people because everyone that is a Waylon Jennings fan or a country music fan or anybody that likes lifestyle of any kind should read this book. It is a very interesting read.
Well, thank you. I worked hard on it, and everybody seems to be pleased with it.
Well, they should be. Your dad was basically the one that told you to write it. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were on a plane flight from Nashville to Dallas to see a Dallas Cowboy football game. And we got to talking back and forth, and I kind of jokingly said, well, I'll just write a book. And he goes, you know what? You need to do that. He goes, you're the only person I know that's been with me from the beginning that's not afraid to tell the truth. So after he passed, I kind of felt obligated to do it, so I started working on it.
That is awesome. I'm glad you wrote it, too, because for any Waylon Jennings fan, and like I said, any music fan, it is a great read. And the great thing I love about it is you basically opened up the tour bus. You opened up the doors to the house. I mean, you let everything basically out there, good or bad. But you painted a true picture of your father. And while he, like all of us, had flaws, I really got the gist that this guy just had a great heart for everything he did, whether it was music or even his family.
He had a big heart. And that's what I set out to do. I didn't want to make any villains. I didn't want to make any heroes. I just wanted to tell the truth and, you know, let people know what kind of guy he really was. And I think I pulled that off.
You did. And you know, I've been watching this Tales from the Tour Bus. This thing has been a great show, but the thing I loved most about, I haven't seen the second part of your dad's, but the part I loved about your dad's in part one, you are such a great storyteller. You've got a voice that just draws people in to hear the stories, and some of your stories on your dad were just phenomenal. Like, while we're here, the one that I thought was hilarious in a lot of ways that could have turned to be pretty serious was the Atlanta Dog story.
Yeah, I can't make that stuff up, man.
No,
it was,
you can't.
Really fun to do that show. We went down to Austin and sat there and, you know, just told a few stories, some that were in the book and some that weren't. And the Atlanta Dog story, man, I tell you what, it wasn't too funny at the time, but I was quite hilarious afterwards.
Oh, sure, because I would think that, you know, it would be kind of scary because you don't know what's happening. For those that don't know, you may want to tell them what Atlanta Dog is.
Well, it's sort of like PCP. It's just a mixture of crap, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Right.
But what actually happened was Richie came up on stage, and I got to notice, and he was wobbling, and he started swinging. He was missing drums, hitting mics, and just, you know, out of tempo, everything. And I went up there and said, are you all right? And he goes, don't worry about me. Go tell your dad he's going to be all right. Tell him what we did was Atlanta Dog. So I went back there to the dressing room, and Deacon's sitting there, and he goes, Terry, we're going to take your dad to the hospital. He thinks he's having a heart attack. So I told him to get everybody out of the room, and they cleared the room, and I went over to Dad. He was laying flat on his back on a table. And I said, Dad, Richie said to tell you that it's going to be all right. You did Atlanta Dog. And he goes, oh, this is going to wear off? And I said, well, it should. And he goes, take me to the stage. And he went up there, and I tell you what, he was as bad as Richie. He was swinging at strings and missing, singing out of key. And, you know, it was the worst show I'd seen. But I tell you what, the audience loved it anyway.
Well, it's very interesting you say that, because when I was reading your book, you told a story, and I knew the exact concert it was because I was at that concert. It was in Wichita, Kansas, where I'm from. And I was at this concert. It was at Century 2 in Wichita. And all of a sudden, you know, it was taking a long time to get on stage. And it started going through the crowd that there was a bomb threat.
Oh.
And you see all these flashlights under the stage. And, well, when you read the book, you can tell the story because you had basically bought a little weed.
From the wrong person.
See, if you had known me, see, we should have known each other back then, because I had some great weed at that show, and I could have hooked you up.
Well, I tell you what, you probably wouldn't have bomb threat if I'd gone that route.
Yeah, exactly. See, I remember that show, and you also saved me with that bomb threat too, because your dad had just got busted for cocaine in Nashville, and just a few days before. And somebody from the local Wichita paper was interviewing different people outside, and they interviewed me, and I was a DJ at the time at my father's station. And they said, "Do you think that this bust is going to hurt Waylon's career?" And I said, "No, I don't believe it will. In fact, I think he'll become more popular." And the newspaper reporter, "Oh, what makes you say that?" I said, "Well, look around. Most of this audience, they're doing the same thing." And I said, he's entered the world of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles instead of, you know, Ernest Tubb and Roy Acuff.
And I understand that, I tell you. Man, that was back in the 70s and everybody was doing it. But I'm glad he quit. I'm glad I quit and survived it, actually.
Well, I feel the same way. You know, I'm the same with me. You know, there's nothing better than living a sober life and getting out of that craziness. But I guess you have to, you know, I do believe sometimes God puts some people, I think some people find God and some people like ourselves, I think God finds us and helps
That's
us.
That's exactly true, man, and thank God he found me.
Now what made you, why not describe to folks what made you turn more to like to be saved again and turn to that life?
Better life. And I'll tell you what, my wife, you know, she had been, you know, talking to me about it, and I was like, "Oh, this, that, and another." And we had been going to church. And then one day we were going to church, and I said, "Well, God, if this is real and all that, you know, show me a sign."
Mm-hmm.
Well, this church has, you know, a praise and worship team, full band, and all the singers and all that. And I was raised in Church of Christ, and you did not play an instrument in that building.
Oh, no.
All. So when I walked into the church we were headed to, all the praise and worship team were gone. And it threw me back to that Church of Christ days, and I said, "Well, that's it." So I went to the altar call, and I tell you what, I'm a better man for it, and I tell you what, I'm not going to push it on anybody, but they should at least give it a try.
Amen to that. I'm the same way. I feel the same way. It's just a... And to come through that, and reading your book, Terry, and I mean this, I had great admiration for your father, but my admiration for you is probably higher than that, because you've really turned out to be quite a good man. And like I said, I appreciate you telling these stories on your father, because like I said, he is to me one of the greatest artists. I don't mean just country music, because I like all kinds of music. But also I'll throw in here too, because I have ADD. I'm just all kinds of questions are going through my mind. But one thing I did notice about the book, you had very high things to say about Jesse Coulter, that she really kept that family together.
Well, as hard as it was, yes.
Yeah, she went through a lot.
She kept the home fires burning, and you know, she kept Dad trying to move in the right direction. Finally, got him going in the right direction, and. You know, she's just a saint, and I love her.
Yeah, and I haven't got to read her book yet. I definitely want to. But this woman is very talented, and it seemed like she put her career on hold to basically make sure Waylon was healthy and happy and the family was together. As far as the family goes, do you ever see a lot of your brothers? I know you've lost two sisters. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've lost two sisters, and I see my brothers and sisters anytime I can, but they're spread all over the United States. So, you know, we cross paths from time to time.
How do you
it's a great time to see them.
How do you feel about Shooters? Because I really like Shooters. I've been really, you know, I didn't know what to expect when I heard that Shooter was going to put out a country album in 2005. And I happened to be walking through the house one day, and this was in a former marriage where this woman had three daughters, and one of the daughters had the 4th of July video on. And I said, "Who's that?" And she goes, "That's Shooter Jennings." And I went, "Man, I love that." Dad, I've read in the book, too, that you had much the same experience, that you just happened to hear it.
Yeah, I didn't even know who it was till somebody told me it was. I just said, "Man, that's a really good song, 4th of July." And they said, "Well, you don't know who that is?" And I said, "No, they said it's your brother, Shooter." And I'm quite proud of him. He does really good, and he's out there doing it. I mean, I could never get up on stage and sing, but he's great at it. So
he is very good.
I wish him all the best.
Well, and two, I was going to say, too, that, you know, I know you were a drum tech for Richie Albright. And a lot of times when people talk about the outlaw movement and country music, you know, as much credit as everybody else gets with coining the phrase or making this movement happen, I always think that if it hadn't been for Richie Albright visiting your dad in the hospital and turning him on to Neil Reschen, that none of this would have happened, possibly.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're right. That was a turning point right there. But as far as the outlaw thing goes, I give credit to, what is her name from Central? Yeah, Hazel Smith.
Yes.
She's the first one that over there at over at Tom Paul Glazier's place said, "Y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of outlaws." And Dad was honored by that, you know, and until he got busted and then he all got out of hand.
That's the truth. Hey, Ken Weaver is our newsman, and I know he's a huge Waylon fan. Ken, do you have a question for Terry? We have not talked about this beforehand, but if you do, feel free.
My question is, and you may not be able to answer or not, is there some more Waylon music out there we don't know about that's going to be released anytime soon?
Well, Shooter just released an album of new stuff. It was a cassette tape he found packed away.
I heard that.
That's right.
And that's out right now. So there's some new stuff right there.
Well, yeah. In fact, I heard, Good Time. Yeah, Good Time.
That's right.
With the acoustic guitar. You know, that's the whole thing about Waylon. No other musician is like this to me. But if it were just Waylon and a guitar, I'm perfect with that, because it's like you're spending time with Waylon. You know?
I think some of the best times were in guitar pulls, when everybody just passed guitar around, and you know, and Dad just him and guitar and vocals. It's good stuff, man. I liked it.
Oh man, I mean, I've never known another musician, because you know, most records you listen to, you're listening for a certain lick, or you're listening for something. But with Waylon, it was so different, because you just wanted to. It was like, okay, yeah, I love the guitar licks and everything, but it's just neat being, it's like you're in the company of Waylon, because he had such a commanding personality, and he was a lot like Elvis. They just commanded whatever room they got in, wherever they went. It was like they just had this magnetism that you could not explain.
Dad walked into a room, and it was just immediately everybody knew he was there. Whether they knew him or not, somebody just walked in, you know, and you get everybody's attention. But he was just a charismatic dude, man.
He really was. Yeah.
Loved people, really loved kids. And, you know, just great all-around guy. I mean, he had a temper, but, you know, like I said, you know, he was like a bear, you know.
Right.
A big teddy bear, but a teddy bear that would bite if you got on the wrong side of it.
Boy, the way you described him in your book, Terry, he was the boss.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nobody questioned.
He was the chief. That's what they called him.
Yeah. He was definitely head honcho of that crew, I'll tell you right now.
I got to ask you one question, too, because from this Tales from the Tour Bus, there's a story that Billy Joe Shaver tells, and I probably won't get the story right because I just watched it one time, but they were apparently at a club, and apparently the club owner wasn't the nicest person in the world and stiffed them on... And as they're driving away, Billy Joe says, all of a sudden he sees this big kaboom, and he said, "Man, did you see that? Did you hear that?" And Waylon going, "I didn't hear anything." That was the fun.
It was nuts back then, man.
Oh, gosh. You know, I tell people now, because Nashville today is so homogenized compared to what it was. And I tell people it's a shame you weren't here when, you know, Waylon Jennings was here and Farron Young and all these guys, because they were such characters.
And nobody drove on the streets. They all drove up and down alleys.
Oh, yeah. Very true. Well, I love the story, too, about your dad in Tom Paul's office at Hillbilly Central, where Tom Paul had put a door up.
Yeah, they put doors up to try to keep people from getting back to him, I guess. And that door, when they opened it,
yeah,
would be halfway in front of Dad's door, and about the third time he opened the door and smacked his face on it. Now, the reason I tell this story is this is the kind of drugs he would do. He took a Swiss Army knife saw and sawed that door in half from top to bottom.
What?
All night long. And nailed it up over Tom Paul's door with a note that says, "See how you like it, yes, OB."
And two, there was a story, and you could probably corroborate that this is true, but they said that another story I loved was that, you know, Waylon comes in and Tom Paul's in there. He says, "Tom Paul, who's your best friend in the whole world? You are, Waylon. Who gave you that brand new Ovation guitar? You did, Waylon. Who just backed into your brand new Lincoln Continental? USOB."
Them two had a lot of fun, man. They run all over Nashville playing pinball and making music all night. And I mean, that town, I don't think it slept back then.
No, I don't think it did. I think it was up 24/7. And especially, I know Roger Miller was.
Whoa.
I don't think Roger Miller ever went to sleep.
My favorite Roger Miller story is he told some guy, he says, "Never carry your pills in the same pocket as your change. I just saw cash 8.47 cents.
Well, Waylon used to say that that Captain Midnight, this DJ that became their kind of side man, that he said he'd follow me around just picking up pills and dollar bills.
That's pretty much true.
Hey, is there any chance you could...
He didn't care what fell out as long as he got what he was after.
There you go. Is there any chance you could hang around just a little bit? Are you on a... I know you have to travel today.
Yeah, I've got to leave here in just a little bit and head over to... the Hill Country.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't keep you any longer then. I don't want to make you late, but I appreciate you coming on. There's just so many stories that we could get into. We're just going to have you back on.
Well, please do. I'd be happy to when I got a little more time.
And coming into town, next time you're in town, let us know. We'd love to take you out to lunch or dinner or something.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll sure let you know if we head that way.
All right, brother. Well, listen, safe travels today. The book is Waylon, Tales of My Outlaw Dad. It is now a paperback, correct?
Yeah, it's out on paperback. You can get it at any store. You can get it online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I got a website, waylonson.com. You can get it. It ain't hard to find.
No, it's not, and it is a great read. And, Terry, above all, stay healthy, brother.
You too, man.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.